This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Welcome to your Thursday, September 23rd. Plenty to get to. We're just a few days removed from Grizzlies Media Day. We'll be down there on Monday. Excited about that. And what we'll hear from Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and the crew. Plenty to do before that, though, including the University of Memphis trying to go 4-0 this weekend against UTSA. I'm sure at some point we will talk about that as well. And at some point, St. Louis Cardinals, 11 in a row? Good Lord. It's becoming a story. It's already a story. I know we don't do much baseball here on sports radio in Memphis, but what the Cardinals are doing, they're trying to make history here. Longest streak, I think, since 01. Longest ever is 14. We'll see if they can get there again at 11. Finishing up with the Brewers tonight, I believe it is. Waino on the mound, and then my lowly Cubs. Looks like the Cardinals going to the playoffs. Congrats to them. John Martin, how you feeling today? Patty's Picks is today.
Yep, got Patty's Picks. So obviously there's an air of nervousness in the air, and that means you're alive. And so we'll do that at 1 o'clock, give you, hopefully, if we're lucky, six winners
money,
here.
Money.
But the NFL season has been very strange. 21-11 are underdogs against the spread this year.
Wow.
And I am a guy, I'll admit, I am a guy that hates, for the most part, taking dogs. I just don't enjoy it. Because I think there's usually always a reason that they're underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a couple dogs this week because that's just the way the season is going.
My Bears on there?
No, the Bears are not on there. Thought about it.
Dang.
Considered them.
No,
the Bears were not a choice this week.
No.
Simply just because I do think that
we know what's going to happen.
It's going to be like a pinball machine back there for Justin Fields. So, anyway, we'll do that as we usually do at 1 o'clock here on the show. Brian Scalabrine going to join us at 11:25. Talk NBA with him. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., NBA rank. Minnesota Timberwolves made some moves.
What a mess.
Zion is mad at David Griffin.
Yeah.
Feels like that's going to be a divorce here pretty soon. So we'll talk to Brian Scalabrine about that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Barrett Jones going to hop on. We'll talk college football with him, get his thoughts on the weekend, everybody feeling beatable in the SEC and beyond. So that will happen at 1:25. That is the show today. But we got some over-unders to knock out. Let's get it.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Under. Under.
Touchdowns for Calvin Austin III on Saturday versus the Roadrunners of UTSA. The number is 1.5.
Over. Under.
I like this. As Memphis tries to remain undefeated, go 4-0 in what's a really good game, technically. I heard it described as sneaky good. That's probably a good way to put it. You got 2 3-0s here. Calvin Austin scored 6 touchdowns his last 2 games, has 7 for the season. Okay, so I at 1.5, I think you got to like his chances, especially going, what do you do, 3 against Mississippi State, two reception touchdowns, one on punt on the punt return that we know Mississippi State fans hated. Put me down for the over. I think he goes for 2 and stays hot.
Well, he's basically averaging 2 right now, right? 2 point something, 2.2, 2.3.
That's that good White Station math.
Yeah,
7 divided by 3, very good.
2.33333333.
Keeps on going.
Just never ends.
Remember that?
Yeah, man. I remember me and Miss Pickens used to get into it all the time. You know, with that.
What'd you say it needs to end?
That overhead projector. Well, I mean, it was a hard class, a very difficult class. Yeah, I'll go over. I mean, why wouldn't I? I mean, he's a touchdown magnet. Calvin Austin III is a touchdown, he will literally defy officials and rules when it comes to getting touchdowns, scoring touchdowns.
Well, remember, too, that you know Seth Henigan went those about 150 yards last week, and 109 of them go to Calvin Austin.
Yep.
Like, he's your emergency outlet. He is your explosive playmaker. He's everything, let's be real, for Seth Henigan. So you're looking toward him. I just think the targets are going to be there, and the opportunity is going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, if officiating can't stop him or slow him down, then why would we expect another player to be able to do that?
I like that we're starting off Thursday, John, on the right foot together.
Yes, absolutely.
We're both over on this.
Christian McCaffrey, rushing yards tonight versus the Texans.
Ooh, got a real good one tonight, don't we, for Thursday night football. John, you excited about this one?
Well, what's the number?
The number is 82.5 rushing yards.
Over. Under.
Yeah, so we had to get the number out there before I can give you just my breakdown of how excited I am about this game. Obviously, this is a game that I've been looking forward to for my entire 30 years of life.
You notice I did not mention Thursday night football first today. Remember there was an issue with that last week. You got a little triggered when I mentioned that.
I
did not do that.
Well,
when I noticed
that would have been a joke. Had
now,
you
Carolina
done that.
Is 2-0, John.
They are, and they're going to go 3-0. They're going to be 3-0 after tonight. Pretty handily. Now, the Texans have been, I think,
competitive.
A shock for all of us. They have been as competent as they have looked.
BetQL has this as a 3-star for them to actually cover that number, that 8 points tonight.
It's a big line, and they are at home, but it's a rookie quarterback starting his first game against a pretty damn good defense.
They've played really well this season, the Panthers.
Yeah.
So, breaking, this will not be in Patty's picks today. I am staying all the way away from this one. If I was going to put something in, I would probably put in over on Christian McCaffrey's rushing yards, because the one thing that you know about Christian McCaffrey is, A, he's white. And B,
he's a Caucasian.
B, he is going to get opportunities. He's going to have like a ton of volume. I think the last few games he's averaged 22, 23 carries a game. And this should be, if it goes according to plan, this really should be in hand by the middle of the third quarter, if not before that, which means you're going to get a heavy dose of Christian McCaffrey. 82.5, this is one of the worst rushing defenses. I think they have the fourth lowest grade on Pro Football Focus as a rushing defense. I think Carolina's going to be doing a lot of running the ball. I'm going over. I think Chris McCaffrey goes over 82.5.
I think I would look silly at this point for all the factoids you just laid out there about what Chris McCaffrey in terms of the opportunities he's getting, and then you look at the Texans' run defense if I took the under on this one. The key for me is what you mentioned, the carries. 24 he got versus New Orleans, 21 versus the Jets. Those are going to be there. I would tell you those two defenses are going to be better than the Texans' defense.
Yep.
Even the Saints, who had a hard time last week, that's still a solid defense.
Yep.
And then Jets, they're lowly, but their coach, former defensive coordinator over with the Niners. Like those are better defenses than what the Texans have. If you're going to give McCaffrey that many carries, again, he's going to go over.
Well, it's a manner of math.
This
right?
feels easy.
So if you just sort of take the average of what he's getting, the kind of work he's getting, and they blew the Saints out. I mean, that was a blowout. So 22.5 carries. All he's got to do is if he averages 4.85 yards a carry, which is certainly what he's capable of doing.
Now, last week it was only 3 against New Orleans.
But that's a
good defense that was still missing some parts, too.
Very true, very true. New Orleans is a much better defense, though, than what you are going to get tonight with the Houston
Texans.
That's
where I'm at with you.
So, Chris McCaffrey goes over.
Is that the real number, by the way?
82.5, I didn't just make that up. Yeah, it's what you can get. I guess they're
the Lions people are.
Yeah, I guess they are
this
just.
This feels like an easy problem.
Seems like it,
they're betting
Jason.
Against Christian McCaffrey. Playing that much, like he's gonna.
I could see that sitting
out
the fourth.
Like, who's their backup? Is it Hubbard, the kid from Oklahoma State?
Chuba.
Yeah, Chuba's gonna get a lot of work tonight.
I could see that.
Yeah, so he may
They put him away.
He may have to get 75 by the half, right? Like it could be one of those kind of deals.
That's a problem.
I still feel confident in the over on this one.
But I think he's gonna get over 82.5.
I just heard about this next story on Jeff's show, and you guys can explain it. But home games played for Warriors guard Andrew Wiggins. The Linesmith staff here at 92.9 has set the number at 0.5 games played at home.
Over under.
All right, Wiggins is not getting vaccinated.
This is wild.
At least thus far. And as of August 20th, remember that the city of San Francisco, Wiggins obviously a Golden State Warrior, is requiring proof of vaccination for large indoor events. So we set it for them, for the, it's the Brooklyn Nets, right, John? The other team that's doing it in terms of their regions and requiring this, those players to play in home games will have to show proof of vaccination. And Andrew Wiggins, despite Golden State's best efforts, their front office's best efforts, they put him with a doctor that's tried to convince him, look, this is, look at the numbers, this, this, this. He has continued to say no, 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 and continued and repeated that here recently, that he has no plans to get it anytime soon. So the question becomes, are you going to play in home games for Golden State because this is required? I can't wait to have Scal on because if I'm Steph, or more, I guess Draymond would be the guy, right? And I'm just going to take a guess that those guys are vaccinated because the majority of players are. There's some.
We're hearing about Andrew Wiggins, not Steph, not Clay,
correct,
not Draymond.
There's some still holding out, but you're hearing about Wiggins. If I'm one of those teammates, you know, how am I approaching him? I'm looking at him upside his head in the locker room. I mean, are you just going to play half the season? You're just going to play on the road? Like, when does this come to a head? And then I'm looking at front office like, okay, because this isn't my job to convince. If you're Steph and Draymond, it's not your job to convince him.
Right.
But I could see that becoming an issue there in that locker room. Interesting to see, you know, how Scal would handle that. I'm going to, you know, the number's at a half a game.
Yeah.
Because
at
right home, now he would play zero if he's unvaccinated. I'm going to go he ends up getting vaccinated because of the pressure.
Yeah, I think
this story's going to go on national at this point. We're talking about it. There will be a pressure on him to do
it. You get half your salary.
Yeah. Well, like,
you know, you only play
41
games.
That's what you wonder if it comes to for the Golden State Warriors is just saying we'll
pay you for your road performances. Like, when you play for us on the road, you can go pay for that. But if you're not playing for us at home, that's 41 games that you're going to be, you know, giving up your game check.
The guy I thought about is his old teammate, and I know they weren't super close, is Carl Anthony Towns. Because Towns, didn't he lose like two fans?
Both parents.
You would see that story from your old teammate and go, you know, maybe there's something to this whole vaccinated thing.
You know, I mean, I think we've all kind of said what there is to be said about getting the vaccine, and people are just exhausted about it. Nothing has changed. The information hasn't changed. It's FDA approved.
We're not allowed to call it dumb, though, right?
I am not going to call it dumb. I'm not allowed to.
That's like against the law to call that stupid.
No, you can call it stupid, but what I would tell you is some of those folks are still worth trying to convince.
I know, and that's why you can't, because you're trying to be passive about it.
Well, when we do that, when we put that fence down and say, right, they do too. They do too on that part.
But I get it. Being abrasive about it doesn't help anybody.
You can't be abrasive about it.
You can call it whatever you want to at this point, because, listen, I'm rolling my eyes at this point at some of this stuff.
Let me be clear about this. Andrew Wiggins
is your
a dumbass.
Yeah. I mean,
yes,
you're talking about your money here.
Yes.
The check. Big check.
And I think right now he's got that bank account full and feeling really good and saying, look, I can do what I want to. But again, you start this season up and you're sitting out home games, money's not coming in, you're going to look real stupid. You're going to look real dumb.
Right. Yeah. Yes. On the money side alone. Yeah.
They had an Oakland doctor like with this dude trying to convince him of, you know, what you don't need to be hesitant about this. None of that's worked. Well, he's got his right to make a decision here, but there's going to be repercussions.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So it's going to be over because he wants that 41 game pay from home. The fact that it takes
eventually,
this to get there.
He will fall in line. Most of them. And we've seen NFL guys have to do it too.
Yeah, we'll talk to Scalabrini about that.
Yes, the next one has to do with that off-season program and how much muscle players put on in the off-season, packing it on. We go to Ja Morant. Pounds of muscle.
Oh, I can't wait to ask him.
Yes, pounds of muscle for Ja Morant. You guys will talk to Ja Morant Monday during their media day as they come through for media day. Pounds of muscle for Ja Morant put on during the off-season, and our linesmen have put the number at 9.5 pounds over under.
Over under.
That's when you always hear about it and when you always do when you come back in these off seasons, whether it's college basketball, professional basketball, especially for Ja Morant going to his third season, was already slight of build. Is that what was
last
he listed
year,
at last year? 174?
Last year it was 12.
12 pounds.
He put on 12 pounds?
Yeah.
He was a buck 65.
Last summer it was 12 pounds.
That put him up to what? I'm looking at Basketball Reference, listing him up to 174. So are we saying he was 162 before?
Possibly. I mean, it's probably.
What's the number?
It says 9.5 pounds for this year.
Oh, because 10's a good round number that you hear a lot. I put on 10 pounds of muscle in the offseason.
Right.
I'm going to go that it's under that, though. If we're going with real total and not announced here like attendance, I'm going to go under and say that Ja Morant, when he comes in there, is going to say he's a nice round 100. 180 pounds.
I like it.
Yeah, put on 6 pounds of muscle in the offseason.
Yeah, I just
put him up to about 180.
I think it's going to be very difficult for a guy like with Josh's frame to do that in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, I just unless he's just eating 4,000.
He's
like,
eating, bro.
The Rock's
Have
diet.
Have you seen his team? His team includes Trey Draper and
trainers. I know,
they got everything, bro.
I just can't see it. I'm going to go under as well. Now, they might say over, but I'm going to – somebody –
Do you agree with me on 6?
I mean, I don't know what the number's actually going to be, but
it'll be something.
Can you
right?
You can put 180 on that 6'3 frame.
Yeah, I think sure. You can certainly put 180. Will it be 180?
What is De'Aaron?
De'Aaron Fox.
Well, he's bulked up now.
Yeah. He has, but same 6'3, and De'Aaron's 185 at 6'3.
That seems right.
And De'Aaron's frame is a little bigger than Ja's.
He's a little bit thicker, but yeah. I could see Ja at 6'3", 180.
Yeah.
I could more see him probably at 6'3", 175,
right,
which would represent a pound of growth.
Well, we'll hear something about it, there's no doubt.
No question.
All right, we're going to the Liberty Bowl. Number of people that got mad at John Martin for calling the Liberty Bowl a dump. The number that our team and crack staff has said is the number is one too many.
Over. Under.
And the answer is over. You know, we talked about this yesterday quite a bit on the show. Went down there on the show in Baylor, and I called sort of conversationally, you know, the Liberty Bowl. I called it a dump, and so like it was funny, like the reaction to me going down there. At first, it was like in like the hours that, you know, right after I posted, it was like, man, great job, this is awesome, you did a great job going to bat for Memphis. But now, like in the hours that since then, you know, overnight. I started the responses about what they ignored every great thing I said about Memphis, right? They ignored every, you know, how Memphis is ready and how they've done so much and how they've come so far, and they have decided more than
focusing on the negative.
They have taken the one thing about the Liberty Bowl that I said, which I did not think was up for debate.
No,
even.
I thought this,
and they have chosen to focus on that statement. Here's the reality. I have been having these conversations with athletic administrators, with higher ups about this very thing, expansion, Big 12, where Memphis fits in, every day since the announcement
months.
Of Texas and Oklahoma going to the
sure.
SEC started, whenever that began. And I didn't just make this up. I didn't just, you know, pull it out of thin air that, oh, today's going to be the day I go on a jihad against the Liberty Bowl. These are real conversations that are happening. And one of the things that I would tell people who push back on me about the Liberty Bowl and how great it is, first of all, at best, the Liberty Bowl is passable. No, it's not a hazard when you walk in. You don't have to worry about it collapsing. So it's not a dump in that sense. But it's not an attraction. It's not a destination. It's not a place that people pick out on the map and say, man, I have to go to a game in the Liberty Bowl. It's not new. It's old as hell. And absolutely, people are going to use it. It's going to be used as something against you. It's going to be people will look for warts, and they will find one, a big one, a 1965 wart in the Liberty Bowl. If you accept the status quo, which is the Liberty Bowl, you will always have the status quo. That's the fact.
Yeah.
You need to have ambition greater than the current stadium that you're playing in. Now, is that going to be easy? Is it going to be simple? Politically, no. It's going to be very difficult. But if the worst thing that comes out of it is that you get some much-needed upgrades to that, and if that's your only option, that's still a positive. Mm-hmm. That's still a good thing. Don't sit here and try to tell me that the Liberty Bowl as is today is perfect and that it doesn't need upgrades and that it doesn't that Memphis, if they had a choice, would get out of that thing in a friggin' New York minute. You know, I mean, it's crazy to me. I don't know what it is about, you know. Maybe it's people who have been going there for so long, they just have this emotional attachment to it, which I understand. But, like, you got to do better. Mm-hmm. You got to want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy?
No, I think they'd no. I remember a similar conversation about building an NBA, a new NBA arena. We have the pyramid. Why would we do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Why not just stay in the pyramid the whole time?
But it was, well, if you're going to get an NBA team, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to think outside the box. You're going to go. And what you may recognize as just common sense.
That's right.
We have a Liberty Bowl and we have a place in the city, and you're a good you have to go outside of
there's
that.
There's a
you have
precedent
to think outside
that we've
of that.
Set.
We know that it would be a good thing for the university. What we also know is there's hurdles.
Yes.
And there's hurdles to everything when it comes to Memphis, Tennessee. There's no question about that. But I think you're absolutely right that the thinking needs to be that. It needs to be outside the box, whether it's on campus and whether you can get that done, or it's having to sink more money in. If we want to call it bad money, we can.
Yep.
Either way, it's upgrades. That thing definitely needs it. To go back to the point about why I think it's something about us as Memphians,
mm-hmm.
right? If we recognize what our issues are here internally, but if you go outside of that, right, mm-hmm. and start telling those issues to the rest of the country, in this case, the Big 12 folks, I think we get a little bit defensive. Even though we know it to be true,
right?
We'll get to, right, because we want other folks to think all good things about us,
right?
And it explains why, like in a lot of interview, all you're saying is great things about Memphis,
yeah.
but they don't remember that part,
right?
They only remember the part about the dump, the one bad thing in this case, bad in quotes, but the one bad thing you said. I think that's sort of us as Memphians. Again, we want the best things said about us. That's why it's kind of been nice, I'll be real honest with you, when we talk to these experts, these, you know, again, Feinbaum, the McMurphys, all these guys, they say that Memphis has done what it needs to do to get into a power. That's why it's been so nice to hear how the reputation has changed, right? I think it's some of that, John. It's us as Memphians when you go outside and you start, in this case, telling the truth.
Yep.
You know, we get a little defensive about
I would tell these people that nobody, no decision maker needed me to tell them that the Liberty Bowl was a dump. Right? Like, nobody is like, man, what's the Liberty Bowl like?
Right.
Let's ask John Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a dump. The secret's out, dog. The book is out. You know, this is not a revelation to anybody that's ever been to it. So I completely reject. And here's the thing. We have a precedent. The precedent is this. We have a city facility that we build a new one, and the old one becomes a Bass Pro. So you just make the Liberty Bowl a Bass Pro Bowl.
Make it something.
I mean, that clearly has been a real boon for Mud Island and that facility. I mean, you have an elevator. People go up there. They take pictures. You can make it. You can theme it.
Top-end hotel in there.
Yeah, do the same thing with the Liberty Bowl.
Just extend, make that more of Liberty Park. And
something.
More apply to whatever is going to, all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You do have to kind of call your own baby ugly at a certain point to get
a theme
good
park
things,
in that
right?
In that junk.
I mean, look, I think you just have to, I don't know if you have to call your baby ugly, but like they got to start doing better in school. You know?
Well, we do it on academics and look where it's got us. Our academics are right there, man.
Yeah,
Research
I mean,
one type caliber stuff.
Like,
you know,
this,
you're
this
upgrading.
Whole, this whole idea that like, I am some, anti-Memphis person going on here and just ignoring literally every other thing that I said. I just you pull your head out of your ass.
It's people's
nature. I mean, that's the reality. Like, pull your head out of your ass. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
How many did you get? Good Lord.
Enough to
really,
you know,
triggered
to pull this.
Because what I saw mostly yesterday was good job,
it's a
John.
Positive column is a good
but
column.
But you said as it went on,
yeah,
and more people listened.
Exactly. As it went on, you know,
whatever.
Kinda,
that's Memphis complex.
Yeah, that's a Twitter fear.
It is a complex. But my point is, like, you should, you know, the striving, it should be for better.
I think most people get it.
Ambition.
Yep. That if you can, you do.
Yeah.
If you can improve, you do.
Yeah, that's, you know, President Roy is talking about, you know, pushing for an on-campus stadium because the Liberty Bowl is so great. It's one of the best facilities in the entire universe. That's why President Rudd wants, you know, to perhaps get a new one. That's exactly right.
The show prior to us was bragging about getting clean windows in the facility.
I mean, what are we talking about? You can't even get freaking windows cleaned in it.
Bro.
I mean, it's got, like, dead mosquitoes. You know, it's in the corner. You can't even see.
There's a hornet's nest in the press box.
Where else is this? You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. We don't have to tiptoe around this. We don't have to...
When we put a new sign on the side of it, we get excited because it looks nicer because we covered the damn thing.
I mean, Calkins literally has to put the APB out. Hey, I cannot see the game because there is a...
It's cloudy.
You know,
It's cloudy.
There are insects mating.
You got a hornet's nest.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So
crazy,
anyway,
man. All
I hope that I hope that people strive for better. I really do.
All right, and so finally, Memphis is ranking in the top 10 college basketball fan bases. I haven't seen this yet. The number that our linesmith has said is 10.5.
Over. Under.
Are we in the top 10 in the fan bases here for college basketball?
So I think it was a Barstool site.
Barstool Benchmark.
Okay.
I hope
we made the top 10.
It was a study done. Like, there was like a real study done. It wasn't by them. It was by somebody else. It was at the bottom of that caption, at the bottom of that image. But the answer is under. Memphis is, over, you would say.
The South Harmon Institute of Technology.
Yeah, Memphis is not considered by the South Harmon Institute of Technology.
Are they smoking?
I mean, Memphis is crazy as hell.
What the hell?
Memphis certainly deserves to be on that list.
I've lived all over the country, and that's just wrong. It's not even close.
Well, there's at least two programs on this list that make no sense to me. Grand Canyon is number 3.
What?
Yeah.
Like,
Dan Marley still there?
I don't think so.
Okay, so Dan Marley.
Didn't Bryce Drew get that job? I think Bryce is there now.
He replaced Dan, didn't he?
Yep, yeah. Okay, that sounds about right.
I think it's because Bryce got let go at Vandy and then he went out there.
How is Grand Canyon number three behind Kentucky and Duke? Explain that to me.
That's bananas.
They care that much about that program there that you put it on a level with Kentucky and Duke and ahead of Kansas and Memphis obviously didn't make the top 10. Tennessee is number 10, UNC 6, Louisville, Syracuse, Dayton 7, 8, and 9. I'm assuming Dayton is your second one, John?
Yeah,
first
Dayton.
One you couldn't understand is Grand Canyon. Yeah, Dayton being number 9 doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense either. And the fact that Tennessee, you know, is ahead of Memphis from a basketball standpoint, and I get that, you know, Barnes has raised up the level in terms of how much they care up in Knoxville about that basketball program. But come on, put it ahead of Memphis, especially when Memphis is good.
Yeah,
hey, dude, you can't. No, Memphis should be on this list.
Memphis is a crazy fan base, man.
Crazy in a good way. In this
yeah, for sure. But it's a crazy ass
crazy
fan base.
In a good
no, but
way
like students at UT would go there for the football program, even though it's been crappy. But like people don't go to Tennessee because of their basketball program. They come to Memphis. Like you went to Memphis, right? And you're enamored with the basketball program.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I mean, that's changed a little bit, but I bet Penny could have it back like that.
Yeah.
I bet Penny could have people like me, you know, 17 years old, 16 year old kids in Memphis wanting to go back to Memphis because it's cool.
And the market supports it more than just the campus. It's a whole 100%. Market thing.
It is, absolutely. We'll talk to Brian Scalabrini about Andrew Wiggins, get his thoughts on Jaws Rank. The situation in New Orleans with Zion Williamson, I should say. All that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN. Well, that one time, I'll be honest. Every Thursday around this time, we talk to the great Brian Scalabrini, Odyssey NBA Insider, Insider Calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Today. Scal, what's good, brother?
Who sings this song? I feel like it's about to drop with a bass and it's not coming. Well, who is it?
Yeah, so this would be I believe he goes by Kanye West.
This is the new Donda?
Yes, Donda. That's exactly right. Now, at some point, this is the whole instrumental. This is the whole one. There's some Jay-Z's on part one. DaBaby's on part two. I'd recommend it. Have you not heard that album yet, Scal?
I'll do it. Yeah, you know, I'll throw it on the Apple Music or whatever. And yeah. I do like a good bass. Like I like it when it drops. You
exactly.
Know, I'm just waiting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Yeah.
And this doesn't
when
do that.
Is this gonna happen?
No, yep. It's not.
When am I going to start my workout set?
This one doesn't do it. You're right. You're right.
You will keep waiting. You will be waiting on that.
Just
like the Golden State Warriors are waiting on Andrew Wiggins to get his shot. That's the news, of course, today in the NBA that Andrew Wiggins at this point is not going to be able to play home games for the Golden State Warriors because he does not have his COVID-19 vaccine. They're one of two markets that are requiring that, along with Brooklyn. Do you ultimately suspect, Scal, that this is going to get figured out and that Andrew Wiggins gets his shot?
Yeah, so let me shed some light on how this works with the NBA. So you can claim a religious exemption. You can also claim a medical exemption. And you just got to get it signed off by the city. Now, if Andrew Wiggins says, you know, like I'm claiming religious exemption, there is a protocol for this. Like you have to be separate from your team a lot. You got to wear a mask everywhere you go. When you get into an arena for practice, you got to test. When you go to the game, you got to test. So like your life becomes increasingly difficult. Just like like, here's an example. I could have not taken a shot, even though I'm calling games, you know, within 16 feet of the Boston Celtics game. I'm sitting courtside calling games. But you look at what would be required of me. I'm not doing that. Like, my life, I can't live my life like that. So Andrew Wiggins is willing to go and live his life the way, like, sit in a different section on the bus, sit in a different plane, section on the plane, wear a mask. So there is a chance, like, the idea that he's not going to play basketball because of this, that's not going to happen. That, there are so many violations. You just have to provide an alternative. So they are providing an alternative. It's not an ideal alternative because the NBA is a grind in and of itself. Without all the COVID protocols and stuff like that, you add COVID protocols to it, it just takes away from, you know, playing well. Now, if Andrew Wiggins comes out and he's, you know, 3 for 18, everyone's going to blame it on all the protocols that he has to go through. So why not just take the shot? So, like, he can decide not to do that, and other players in the NBA can decide not to do that wherever you play. But the protocols are pretty strict.
Do you address that with him as a teammate? Do you let him in the front office figure all that out? If you're Steph or Draymond or one of those guys, Cal?
I think most guys would allow him to do his thing. Now, that's how, you know, like, in my experience, like, remember, this is, I have never dealt with something like this, right?
Sure.
This is, I have NBA experience, 11 years. I've seen it all. No, actually, I haven't seen it all. I've never seen a pandemic. I've never seen arenas without fans. Like, I'm seeing a lot new based off of this thing. So I haven't seen this. And usually guys, like, they're kind of hands off with what people decide to do, whether how's your ankle, are you playing or not. Like, they're not, like, guys don't really force guys to do things that they don't want to do. So I'm not sure how they handle that, but the problem is if Wiggins has an off night or an off week or whatever it is, and he's going to do that because he's Andrew Wiggins, you know, and like, he's like, that's just his game, and he's not the featured guy in the Warriors. Then, like, the conversations start happening. This conversation happens. It happens more. It's on ESPN. It becomes a big deal versus if he just got vaccinated and he has an off night, that people just move on. Like, hey, he's not that good anyways.
All right, how about in Philly? You believe Ben Simmons when he says he's not coming, and is this thing fixable for Philly in terms of keeping him, right? Or is Doc just out there trying to get some of that leverage back that you lost when you blasted him publicly?
Yeah, so here's why I haven't got this answer. I'm surprised. Like, you know, like, everybody's putting so much information out there. I don't know this. And I think this makes a big difference. Ben Simmons is making $33 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he says, I'm not going, he doesn't make any money, right? Like, I don't – this is, like, the answer I have not – yeah, guy, like, I understand that the players have power and the union and everything like that, but they can't have that much power, as in you sign a contract and you just don't play. So I'm assuming that, like, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, and I know the Sixers, obviously, they don't want to go into a year where they're a quote-unquote championship-caliber team with this hanging over Ben Simmons,
mm-hmm.
but – I do think that they could sit a lot longer than other people. They can wait till things start going sideways for other teams. And I think at that point, like, people are going to be – Ben Simmons is a ridiculous talent. Like, the only issue I have with Ben Simmons from this standpoint is him and Rich Paul believe, like, he's a point guard, he's an MVP candidate when he has the keys in his hands and he can run the show. I don't believe that about Ben Simmons, but here's what I do believe. I would take him on my team in a second. I don't need to play you at the point. I will just have, like, we will have point guard by committee. And everyone is pointing to the Doc Rivers comments. You know, like, Doc backed Ben Simmons all year. And, like, the only thing that Ben Simmons didn't like was you can, and you listen to the games or when you're there watching them, sometimes the shot goes up, a rebound is made, and someone else will bring the ball. Tobias Harris will bring the ball up the court. Ben Simmons would, like, delay and circle around and want that ball back.
Mm.
And Doc was constantly saying, like, just get up the floor. You don't have to be the guy that brings it up. Doc had Embiid bring the ball up the court. Danny Green, Tobias Harris. Like, I get it. Like, in a crunch moment, you want Ben Simmons having the ball in his hand so he can make plays and get other people involved and all that stuff. But Doc wanted him to get ahead, like, to get off the ball. And I don't think Ben Simmons was cool with that. So when he comes out and says, I want to be traded, and it's those, they're kind of looking at those comments, that's not the reason why Ben Simmons wants to be traded. Ben Simmons wants to be traded because he doesn't like playing off the ball. Now, if you're another team, you got to ask yourself, like, are you willing to give the keys to a guy that's kind of flaky and doesn't really want the ball in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're talking to Brian Scalabrine. Join us every single Thursday here on the show. I guess is that possible, right? Like, you know, for him to find a place where, you know, he's happy and he's effective doing those things and you can rehabilitate him? Because I'm skeptical of that based on what we saw in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm skeptical of the 76ers getting what they feel like a player of Ben Simmons' caliber warrants in a trade. What do you see playing out with him?
So I think that here's one thing. I'll give you some insight on the NBA from this standpoint. Every NBA GM and every NBA coach believes that they can do a better job than every other GM and every other coach. You know, like no GM sits around like, man, this guy's really good. Like I don't want to trade with him because he's going to fleece me, right? They all believe that they could do a better job. They all believe that they can get Ben Simmons in their organization and they can – like, oh, we'll just send him to our sports psychologist, and he will figure it out. So I do think there's a lot of people, like on paper, he is 6'10". He can finish with both hands. He gets downhill. Back-to-back years leading the NBA in assisted three-point shots made, that means something. That has to mean something if you're a team that has a bunch of shooters. That's more than Luka Doncic and everybody like that. Like, he finds guys from three because when he gets downhill, you have to put two on him. He's like, and he's 6'10", so we can see over the defense. So I think a lot of people like, man, our organization might never have a guy that has this much talent, and it's our job to make it work. It's this coach's job to make it work or whatever. So I do think there are some suitors out there. I just don't think that they're getting what they think that they deserve, which is, I'm pretty sure the Philadelphia 76ers are laser focused on Damian Lillard and the Portland situation. And if Portland starts to go sideways during the season, why wouldn't you want to, like, okay, Damian Lillard is obviously a much better player, but he's owed, like, close to $50 million, like, 4 years from now. And he is 31 years old versus Ben Simmons being 24. So I could see how Portland could kind of hit the reset button. And the one thing about the Portland Trailblazers, they have guys that have value. People would trade a first-round pick for Robert Covington. People would give up a lot for C.J. McCollum. Yusef Nurkic, like Norman Powell. Like, these guys are good players. You guys, okay, here in Memphis, you wouldn't take any of those guys on your team? Like, yeah, I'll take those guys for sure. So I think that they have good players that other teams would want. So if you hit the reset button, like, let's say 6 months before, like, it slaps you right in the face, you come out looking really good. You come out with, like, the way that Oklahoma City came out with all these assets moving forward, and you're in a great position moving forward. Maybe that guy is Ben Simmons, and you can just kind of build around him. Mm-hmm. So I think that from Philadelphia's standpoint, I think they got their eyes set on Damian Lillard and see if they can make that happen. But the ball is in the court of Damian Lillard, Neil O'Shea, and the Portland Trailblazers because that's what the Philadelphia 76ers want.
Well, ESPN doing its NBA Rank 2021, and we don't know how the top five will be ordered, but we do know who they are. From process of elimination, it's Durant, it's Giannis, it's Curry, it's Luka, it's LeBron. Curious, Scal, how you would rank those five in terms of the best overall. We're not saying best offensive player, we're saying best overall. How would you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with those five?
So I would only look at, like, the playoffs, right? I'm not going to look at the regular season because I don't think that's fair to LeBron. You know, like, LeBron knows how to navigate, so he might not be the best player in the world in the regular season, but in the playoffs, he's going to be tough. So I would go Durant, LeBron, Giannis, probably. This is a tough one. Curry or Luka? I guess I would go Curry, Luka. That's really close to me, though. But the other guys, I think their order is established. Maybe Giannis could jump LeBron this year, but in the playoffs, if I had money on the line, I'd still bet LeBron, just because of his experience, if he has the right people around him. So I think that's the way that I would go. What do you guys think?
That's what I would ask you is what Giannis would need to do. Is it another year of making a final, to pass LeBron? That's the only question. I think the rest of it's on. I'd have KD at one. I don't know how my partner feels about that, but I got KD at one.
He has to agree with you, right?
I would hope so. I don't think he did, though. Well, he might still have LeBron there, though.
No,
he's a LeBron
stan. I had KD above LeBron. I mean, just based on the recency of the way LeBron went out in the playoffs, yes, you have to.
Okay, so I think – so we're all in agreement. Do you guys agree with Curry over Luka, or you guys go Luka over Curry?
Well, John's got Luka.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. No.
Luka. You got Luka.
Yes, because Luka's more complete offensively.
Ooh,
no.
Yes.
Not at this stage.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Let me. Okay.
School
no, you're
him.
Right.
School him.
You're right. But see, I don't.
No, you sound right.
No.
You're right in the sense like he could put the ball on the floor. He has the ball in his hands. All that stuff, right? But see, you know how I look at the game impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Curry comes off a screen and two guys run to him without the ball. What's the difference between that happening or Luka coming off the screen and shooting a step back, and now you have to put two guys on the ball? Mm-hmm. Curry gets just as many layups for everybody else on the team as Luka does passing the ball. If there was a stat for overreaction to a guy on the perimeter, I mean, I've seen this before. I'm not kidding you. Curry running down in transition, two guys run into each other to run to him in a corner as a guy goes down the middle and lays it up. Like I've watched thousands of NBA games. I've never seen anybody react to a guy off the ball that doesn't even have the ball in his hand. So I would value impact. But like, listen, I get like if you ask me, who would you rather have the ball in their hands at the end of a game? I would take Luka. I would 100% take Luka. But like the impact of Curry, you're Steve Kerr. You can draw a play where Curry just runs around in circles, and two guys will run to him, and the guy will get a dunk. So those are the type of things that I would have to factor in. But it's not. I mean, those guys are to me. And Curry could drop off this year, and Luka could take another step forward. But I've never seen the impact of a guy who doesn't have the ball, never gets credit for the play, where guys get dunks and layups off of him. So I factor that in.
I'm with you on that one. Listen, the Minnesota front office sounds dysfunctional. Obviously, Gersan Rosas relieved of duties by the owner, Glenn Taylor, and it's at a point where he's not even letting the executive vice president of basketball operations into the building and banned him from that. Just total, absolute dysfunction. You played for better front offices, but did you know, was there one that you say, oh, man, I'd never play for them because they're an absolute mess, just that was known during your days, one that you just maybe similar sort of dysfunction or at least was known for that?
All right. How about you guys, we'll make a deal, and you guys got to say yes to it. I'm going to give you one sentence, and you cannot ask a follow-up, and I'll tell you the sentence, but you have to make a deal with me. That's true? That, you know, we can't get into it? I'm going to give you one sentence, and you guys got to move on from it. But I'll give you something as opposed to
okay.
Nothing. I could lie.
Right. You just give me the runaround. No, I want that ask a follow-up on.
This goes against our instincts here.
I just next question. Hit you on the
Yeah,
zoom,
you're right.
Hit you on the
That's
mute.
Exactly right.
All right, I'll give you one sentence. When, not my first year, but my second year in Chicago, I could tell that the front office and Thibodeau were button heads. Then the following year, they offered me a job to coach there, and Danny Ainge always told me, you have to look at the coach and the front office, and you've got to make sure that they're in alignment. And if they're not, then you're going to get stuck into this middle, and then you're going to be moving around and whatever. So I had a job offer, like an assistant coach job offer, like as soon as I got done playing.
Yep.
And I would not take it because of what I saw that last year. I didn't. Like, it got worse as it went along when I wasn't there.
Yep.
But that last year, I was like, man, this is tricky. And remember, I'm coming from Celtics with Doc and Danny and those guys. You know, like those guys don't always agree, but they're on the same page.
Exactly.
You know, like it's not, like, hey, my man, everything is great. No, it's like you guys disagreed, but – like, it didn't affect, like, things that you would, you know, like, you just, it's like, teammates disagree, but we function.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel right about taking that job and, like, entering into that. So that was to me, and that's nothing compared to the way that Minnesota has been ran, you know, like this, the ownership there is so wild with, they've run the one playoff series in over 20 years.
It's
and
ridiculous.
That's, I mean, besides the, I mean, last time Garnett was good, for Minnesota was 2004 when he won the MVP. Like, that was a long time ago. Then they had that 1 year. So the Chicago year was like and by the way, I didn't feel it. And we had the best record in the NBA, but I wouldn't take the job the following year there because I was like, man, I do not want to get involved in something like this.
Says everything we need to know.
Sort of in the same vein of that, you know, I read a piece this week in New Orleans about how, you know, David Griffin sees that the team is struggling, and he says, you know what, I'm a handout, the alchemist. I'm going to hand out some literature in the bubble, and y'all go read The Alchemist. I just know that every player on the team read that front to back. They didn't just throw that stuff in the trash immediately. But the larger point was that, like, it's not going the right way with Zion. Like, he's not talking to David Griffin. The relationship is really bad. It doesn't seem like it's going to be retrievable. It's very rare you see a number one pick, like, leave after his first contract. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it just feels like more likely than the last several number one picks we've had. What do you sort of see happening in New Orleans with Zion and his relationship there with the front office?
Yeah, so I was not shocked that I saw this, but I always think, like, okay, like, it's hard for a rookie. Zion's going to have a great year. He might even be All-NBA this year, one first, second, or third team. So he might be eligible for Supermax. Like, he'll have an opportunity to be eligible for Supermax extension. Some of his stats were mind-boggling last year, right? So it's hard, like, when you're Zion, to turn down, gosh, man, it's going to be,
right,
you know, close to $200 million. Like, the same, Luka signed for 5 years, $207. So, like, Zion's getting more than that. Like, I don't know how a rookie would go in and say, you know what, forget that 5 years, $207 extension. Give me the $6 million or the $9 million. I guess, like, the rookie scale for a number one pick is probably, like, somewhere around 14. Give me $14 million, I'll just be an unrestricted free agent. That is tough. And then if that did happen, then New Orleans has the opportunity to trade him that year, and you'll get a haul for Zion Williamson. So, in a way, I really don't – I mean, it doesn't matter that they don't get along, but, you know, I think David Griffin is probably trying a little bit too hard. Like, just do your job. Like, you don't have to, like, be their father or anything like that. I know they're young kids, but, like, these guys, like, just, like, do your job of getting the best people around him and be honest with people and all that stuff. And I feel like that stuff will work out. But listen, these guys, I'm from a different generation of NBA players. I think there's a little bit of, like, coddling that has to occur nowadays. Not in a, like, oh, man, these guys are so soft they need to be coddled. I just think it's just, like, the way our world is right now. I think everyone sort of needs a little bit of that. And I feel like the NBA GMs and stuff like that can probably take that over the top. I think the best, like, Pat Riley, I don't think those guys are coddling their players. You know, I just think they're like, we're going to try to win, and we want everyone to understand what about winning. Like, if it's like, I guess David Griffin was playing the piano to show off to Zion Williamson that he could do that during the bubble. I'm like, that's not about winning. Just go get a player where we can win. Like, figure out these Lonzo Ball situations so we don't get banged for tampering or whatever it is. So let's, that I think a lot of people pretend to do more than just their jobs.
Last thing, Scott. Media day for the Grizzlies is coming up Monday and is all over the league, obviously, for teams. Was it something as a player that you, you know, couldn't stand? You'd circle and say, my gosh, I got to do this junk. You get all these, you know, mundane questions from reporters trying to tie and trying to make you laugh or something. Or was it something that you legit enjoyed and it marked the start of the season for you?
So I wish I enjoyed it more. I could have really, I really been awesome on the Jumbotron, you know. It's not like I don't like it. I think, like, that kind of stuff, if you can embrace it, your life is better, right? Now,
you got
it does, like, yeah, like, media, you can, like, gain friendship with the media, like, you know, do pieces and get to know people, and it can really help your career. You become a good guy and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything that, like, you ask dumb, like, people ask dumb questions and you got to answer them, but it's all part of it. And it's just one day. It's not the worst thing. You get a chance to get after in training camp. So, yeah. Like, I'm not one of those, like, listen, everyone's trying to carve out space for themselves in this business. I'm totally fine with that. I mean, people got to figure out they're doing the best job they possibly can. They're not trying to be corny. They just are. It's not their fault.
Yeah. Scout, man, great stuff as always. We appreciate
Thank
the time,
brother.
Man. Thank you.
You got it, guys.
Yep. He is Brian Scalabrine. Joins us every single Thursday here on the show. Always brought to you by BetQL. Appreciate him for joining us on the show today. That Zion situation there, it is fascinating. He's not going to be the first player that's ever not gotten along with his front office. But if you look around, right, I mean, you look at what's going on in Minnesota, you look at what's going on in New Orleans, and sort of Mev's in the smack dab middle of that, and you don't read stories like, oh, Ja and Zach Kleiman don't talk, you know, Ja and Zach Kleiman. You know, it seems to be pretty hunky-dory over there with the Grizzlies, and that's really, no news is good news.
Why was David so good, or at least considered so good with the Cavs, but has been so, just every decision has looked terrible here with the Pelicans? Can we explain why Griffin has dropped off?
Well,
like
because
this?
LeBron's the GM when LeBron's on your team.
Was it not that? Is that things look a lot better when LeBron's there?
Yep.
But he was highly regarded.
Yeah.
Right?
He was. And LeBron was angry with Dan Gilbert once he left.
Absolutely he was.
Yep, or was fired or whatever.
And was it because David Griffin just did every damn thing so LeBron could be GM, and that's why? It's because that's my guy, and he never challenged me. He did what I said, essentially. I mean, it would look more like that today when you look at some of these decisions he's made as New Orleans front office guy. I mean, it's been ugly. Ugly. I don't see that lasting. I mean, Zion's got all the pull. He's going to get – Zion's going to – you're going to be gone. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't like you, you're going to be gone because they got to keep him for as long as they can.
Yep.
And so I just don't know. It's gone from shine to you-know-what for David Griffin.
No doubt. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Barrett Jones is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk college football with him. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.